Expedia and Visit Scotland invite you to come experience the beauty that awaits in Scotland. The sweep of wild coastlines, quiet lochs and untamed landscapes. Fresh cuisine that feels rooted in the land. Come experience the kind of stillness that stays with you long after you leave. Plan your Scottish escape today at expedia.com/visitscotland.
Ready to soundtrack your summer? With Red Bull Summer All Day Play, you choose a playlist that fits your summer vibe the best. Are you a festival fanatic, a deep end DJ, a road dog, or a trail mixer? Just add a song to your chosen playlist and put your summer on track. Red Bull Summer All Day Play. Red Bull gives you wings. Visit redbull.com/brightsummerahead to learn more. See you this summer.
Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Miami-based acclaimed jazz singer Lizanne Lyons. We take a deep dive into her new 2026 album, May I Come In, and a very celebrated career in the world of jazz. Possessing a beautiful voice, a solid sense of swing, and a history wrapped with the Great American Songbook, she delves into arrangements. She enlisted Mike Lewis to create for a jazz orchestra comprised of some of Miami's and New York's finest. Her career began immediately following high school as a featured vocalist for the Air Force bands. During her years in the service, she performed and traveled worldwide. Over the years since then, Dr. Lyons has performed with the Woody Herman Orchestra and the Maynard Ferguson Big Bop outfit, Arturo Sandoval, Larry Elgard, and so many others. She's full of positivity, wisdom, and stories. Enjoy this interview. Well, it's great to meet you. I'm looking forward to getting into May I Come In, your life and music. So thank you for taking a minute out today.
No, it's my pleasure.
So let's begin our journey with this. 6 years ago, this pandemic was changing our lives, changing so much about what we do. How did you get through that era, and how has it changed the way that you do things now?
Interesting. Well, I was teaching pretty much full time at that time, so trying to run a jazz vocal ensemble and teach private lessons online was quite an adventure. And actually, I learned a lot. I learned more about technology. I upped my technology, which I needed to do, and I had to learn programs like Logic, things I've kind of avoided. Technology scares me sometimes. It's a necessary evil, though. So I learned actually how to use that and taught the students how to use it and record their parts. And then I learned how to assemble them together. So I kind of got more, it helped me set up a private recording studio in some way. So I became a little bit more tech savvy, and that kind of opened some doors for me as far as being able to, practice. Obviously, we couldn't get together with musicians, so they have so many backing tracks and other resources available now that weren't available back in the day. So it kind of, it tested me. I guess it tested me as well to realize, my gosh, the arts are, how important is this? I mean, Really, what we're doing is like, we're being cut, and we're not that important. The gigs course went away, jobs went away. So financial stability becomes an issue. Thank God I had a teaching gig, but some people don't. And, the other flip side, I think, is I got to meet people online that I normally wouldn't get to meet in person. And because they were all doing our connection, our community through Zoom. And I got to meet and talk with people that were some of my idols, like Dina DeRose, and she's fabulous. They would do master classes. So it made it more accessible, if that makes any sense. It
sure.
Kind of made the world a little smaller. You realize how connected we are. So I think the community, we all started supporting each other and kind of cheerleading each other to keep the music going, because we knew it was going to be temporary. But just to keep moving forward, so when it finally, when gigs came about, we'd be ready and we weren't just sitting around and have to dust off the mothballs. And But yeah, so I made things more accessible, but it was very reclusive too. It was hard.
Yeah, for sure. So talk to me a little bit about May I Come In. Talk to me about what your vision was. What were you going after?
I had not, the last time I recorded a CD was many moons ago. Yeah. And I'm not sure if you knew about those, but it's been several years. And I have, I've had to grow, as far as a musician, a singer, a working musician, I've always been kind of the utility person. Well, Gitlee Sand, she can do the big band. Gitlee Sand, she can do this. Gitlee Sand, she can do that. And I never really honed in on what that I things that I really like. And I grew up, fortunately, in a great high school program in Sarasota High School. He had one of the top high school jazz bands in the country. Dare I say, they were called stage bands. I know, it's just dating myself. They weren't even allowed to say big bands. So it was a stage band. So anyway, I played guitar in the stage band. And then I got to sing in my senior year. So I have a real love and affinity for the big band era, that music. I got to play guitar, and the director was amazing, bringing out Sammy Nastico and introducing me to tunes I never would have probably listened to on my own. And then at 17, when I was singing with a jazz band, we did a jazz festival in Mobile, Alabama. And I was singing with the band and also playing guitar. And a commander of an Air Force base band saw me and said, "Hey, would you ever think about singing with the Air Force band?" I'm like, "What? They have bands? I had no idea." Yeah. And the Airmen of Note at the time were the host band. So I thought, man, if they sound like that, you know, yeah, I would sign me up. And my dad was prior military, so I kind of knew, you know, living on base and wearing uniforms, growing up in Catholic school. So that wasn't very new to me. So at 17 years old, I joined the Air Force and sang with the bands, big bands. And I just have a love for it. I just, that era I wish I grew up in, I didn't. So that was the closest I could come to. So now moving forward here, I've had the pleasure of singing with Maynard and Woody Herman, and you know, he wasn't alive at the time, but the Ghost band, Maynard was. So I got to sing with him and Arturo Sandoval, and I just love being in having this wall of sound, you know, behind you. It's a different kind of singing versus the intimate combo singing, and I like to get in there with them with the horns and just, you know, feel like I'm a part of the band through my voice. And so my friend, Mike Lewis, who I've known for years, I did a lot of session work for him in Miami. He's a great writer, has done a lot of horn writing for Casey and the Sunshine Band, and, you know, a huge career as an arranger. And he was writing some things for me for some concerts coming up. And I was thinking, you know, I need to do another recording. He's really good at writing big band, and bless his heart, he's, you know, upper 80s, and who knows how much longer he'll want to write. So I wanted to take advantage of his talents and our collaboration. And so I said, you know what? Let's just do it. Let's just bite the bullet and get another big band thing and get all my friends on board and do it while we're all around, you know, town. So I decided to do that.
So what are you hoping the listener gets from the album?
Experience a membership that backs what you're building with American Express Business Platinum. Get 2x membership rewards points per dollar on eligible purchases in key business categories, as well as on each eligible purchase of $5,000 or more, on up to $2 million in eligible purchases per calendar year. American Express Business Platinum. There's nothing like it. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/business-platinum.
I guess it's kind of traditional, in the traditional sense. It's not super modern, and I love modern singing. I want to get the excitement of the days of the big band where, you know, singers could walk on the stage and, you know, do it live and do it not get so heady about certain things. Kind of a throwback to those days. The songs I picked were, I don't think, there were some unique ones. I didn't want to do the same worn American Songbook things. But I like them to feel kind of reminiscent of the days when Sarah and Ella sang with the bands and Sinatra sang with the bands. And, you know, where a singer is part of that, not just the vocal part, but we're all in this together. And I always felt that when I heard Sinatra or Sammy Davis Jr. or Mel Torme, all my idols. And I just, I don't know. Like, hopefully they'll you know, feel the enthusiasm and the infectiousness of a big band and that wall of sound that it's hard to get together. I mean, I won't do another one probably, but
right.
Yeah, and I do it live. So people always said, Lizanne, you know, you're a great big band singer. And I didn't even know what that meant. I don't know what that means, but maybe because it's my love for it and the love comes through, you know, in that. So I say, oh, well, let's go with that. And then I'll do a small recording next year with maybe some originals and a little bit more, you know, modern thing. But I wanted to use Mike's talents and his expertise, which is really coming from that era, you know.
So you touched on the early years. I'm curious, what initially got you to sing and to want to get into this world? And was it always going to be this? Did you have any other aspirations, or was it always music?
Always. I don't think I really realized I wanted to be a singer until I picked up the guitar and started playing the guitar and started learning songs. And I would, according to my mom, I forget, but she said I would spend hours in the bedroom just singing and playing guitar and learning tunes. And then at one point, some of her friends were saying, why didn't she sing for our party? Come over here and do this, and come over to our club or play for our wedding. And then at 11 or 12 years old, I'm like making money playing and singing. And it really was my passion. It was my outlet. I'm a very shy person. And my dad was Air Force, like I said, and we moved every couple of years. So we're always moving and moving. So I never felt like I fit in, you know, I was always the new girl. So the music to me was my solace. That was something that was uniquely mine. And I can just go into my world. So I really love music. I couldn't think of anything else to do. Had a great high school program. And if the Air Force didn't pick me up, I probably would have went to college and studied. I did actually audition for a college at the time, not knowing this would come through. And they said, well, we'll take you, but we only have music, theater, and opera, or classical. And I'm thinking, nah, I'm not sure if that's the direction I want to go to. And then the Air Force came through, so who knows what the trajectory would have been if I would have gone to that school and done music, theater, and maybe my path would have been completely different. So
you mentioned Maynard, and you've been on stage with a lot of heavy players, mm-hmm. legends and luminaries. What have you learned from them, whether it's directly or by osmosis, that's allowed you to grow as a musician, or you to impart that wisdom onto the next generation?
Wow. Professionalism. Maynard is quite the showman. You know, they knew how to put sets together, music together, talk to the audience, you know, learning that, connecting with the audience. It's something that you cannot learn in a classroom. And I went to school kind of backwards. I went to school at 24 when I finally started college. So previous to that, you know, all my training was on the road, you know. And so when I decided to go to school, to fill in the blanks, like how do you arrange, how do you do this, how do you do that, you know, and how do you I guess for me, I wanted their respect, the instrumentalists to respect me as one of them, not just a throat or just a singer. And it was always kept in the forefront of my mind because I'm surrounded by all these amazing musicians, and I saw their work ethic and what they had to do to put into their instrument and learn. And so it inspired me to be more from their perspective than just be a singer, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So they inspire me to be somebody that a musician, or instrumentalist, I should say, would respect. I wanted to be in it with them.
So do you remember the first live show you saw that blew you away, that made you think, I want to be up there, I would love to do that one day?
Oh my gosh. First live show. I can't really recall anything.
Or something early on.
Where is Daredevil?
I'm right here.
Don't miss the return of Marvel Television's Daredevil Born Again.
So what's next?
I've been liberated.
We're gonna take this city back.
Overmedicated.
In an all-new season, now streaming only on Disney Plus.
They're hunting us. It's time we started hunting them.
I can work with that.
This should be tons of fun.
Marvel Television's Daredevil Born Again, now streaming only on Disney Plus.
Like, how far back are we going?
Oh, it as far back as your memory will allow.
Oh, my goodness. Far back. To know that I wanted to do music as a living?
Yeah, or that it just moved you. And whether it was conscious or subconscious, it got in your
bones. Thank you. You just hit on something. We are going way back, though.
All right, I love it.
We're going to go way back. When I started to play the guitar, of course, singing came along with it. I didn't pursue guitar as my, I want to be a guitarist, just enough to accompany myself. So I told you I went to Catholic schools most of my life, and the music classes were almost non-existent. So when I was learning guitar, I would bring my guitar to the school, and I would play for the choir or play for the what they call a music class. So I do remember an incident where we were outside on the lawn in a circle, having a retreat of some kind, and I brought my guitar out, and we were all going to sing together, and I was going to accompany them. And then they had me sing a solo. They said, Lisanne, why don't you sing something? So I pull out my guitar and I sing, I Don't Know How to Love Him from Jesus Christ Superstar. And at the end of the tune, I'm looking around and tears are flooding down their faces, and they're just like so emotional. I had that effect? What? This is powerful. And I think, because I'm remembering it now, obviously it made an impact, I realized, wow, this is more than I thought. So I think that inspired me. So if I can affect this group of students, peers, what can I do on the main stage?
Yeah.
So I really think that really solidified it for me, even though I was just doing it for fun. And then I realized, I've got something. I think I've got something.
I love it. Yeah. So what do you like the best about being a professional musician? What gets you up every day? What motivates you to evolve and to love creating?
I've been teaching a lot, 30-something years, I know. And so a lot of energy goes into that. So I haven't been thinking about myself as much, but they've also inspired me because I have a lot of talented students. And they've made me a better musician because they come up with issues that I have to think about how to solve. So it made me look inside, like, how do I teach them how to swing? What is it? So I know that inspired me. And me, I just love all kinds of music. While I was in college, I had to make a living. So I had to do everything from music theater to pop to jazz to semi-classical. My problem was I couldn't really hone in on what thing I would just pick to do, because I like doing it all. Now, recently, I'm kind of taking hiatus from teaching full-time and working on my own career and deciding what does move me. It's interesting to see how many young people are actually into jazz, where I remember when I was singing, I couldn't get arrested for singing it. Now it seems like all these young people are, being exposed through social media, through YouTube, things that are more accessible than they were for me. I had to really seek it out. I had to really find these recordings. Now they're at everybody's fingertips. So it inspires me to see all these young folks carrying on this tradition, and I feel like, because the educator in me, that paying it forward so we can keep this beautiful art form alive. My challenge right now is, because I've had to do so many different idioms and genres, what is my voice? I feel like you've been a chameleon. You do this, you do that, but what is your voice? So this time I'm getting now, I get to reflect and think about what it is that is my voice. What is it that I want to say? But I believe all artists are what they're influenced by. You know, that book called Steal Like an Artist? If you take from a lot of different artists that inspire you, that's called research. If you take it from one, that's stealing. So very important to, you know, draw from the masters before you, and then how can you put your stamp on it? And I think just by honoring and studying, your sound comes out from your inspirations. I love, my first inspiration is not jazz, it's pop. I think Olivia Newton-John, we're going to go way back. Olivia Newton-John was one of my absolute favorite singers. That voice, Karen Carpenter, what a gorgeous voice. I didn't even like Ella. I know it's sacrilege to say. It's like Ella Fitzgerald. I thought she was corny. She sang Tisket a Tasket. I mean, because I was so naive, I didn't really know. Like, Tisket a Tasket. That's not hip. That's not. So for years, I wouldn't even listen to Ella because I was just prejudiced from that tune. Of course, I learned later. And Sarah Vaughan was actually, when I got into the Air Force, Sarah Vaughan was the first one that inspired me. Someone said, hey, Lisa, come and check out Sarah. She's singing with the Boston Pops. And I went, oh, my God, who is this woman? What is going on here? Because I was a pop singer. And then ever since then, that was it. I'm doing jazz. I'm listening to jazz. Because I'm not a rocker. I don't have that kind of voice. I know I don't want to do classical. I know I don't want to do music theater. So what can I do that my voice fits? You know, because there's a lot of people I love and listen to. But I'm not going to sound like them, and I shouldn't sound like them. But, you know, all my mentors are, you know, or have voices that I don't really have. But that's okay. I can still get the style. I can still get the influence. Sinatra was probably my first big influence because my dad loved him. And so I loved him. And so I'll tell you one little incident. I couldn't stay up late. I had to go to bed. I don't know if you remember when Sinatra was making his comeback, and he did the Madison Square Garden show. Remember? Yep. It was televised.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that? And I sat in there. My dad let me stay up to sit with him because he loved Sinatra. And I looked at that, and I was just blown away. I said, oh, my God. So I went out and bought the album. Yes, the album. And I would play it every night, just wore it out. So my parents aren't musicians, so they weren't saying, hey, you need to listen to this because this is the stuff that's good for you. I innately was attracted to it. So my parents weren't musicians, so they didn't tell me or guide me in that way. But my dad had really good taste. So, you know, I loved great music. So Sinatra was being played in my bedroom while down the hall my brothers were playing Grand Funk Railroad and Led Zeppelin. So I was like this, if you walked in the middle of the hall, it'd be like, this juxtaposition of all this really strange music happening at the same time. I have Olivia, who I used to imitate, and, you know, I loved imitating her, and then I would listen to Karen Carpenter. But, of course, don't have that alto range, but her musicality and of course Sinatra with the big band, and then whatever was popular at the time I was playing on my guitar. So I think all that influenced me. I had a very unique background. I think,
yeah, you know, my dad loved Sinatra too. He was full-blooded Italian, so he would have that cranked. And I always knew when I came in the house, if Luciano Pavarotti was playing, I knew something was up. I was like, uh-oh, what happened?
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Opera was the signal. But no, And even that show, the LP that he did with Ellington, or no, Count Basie at the Sands. Yeah, that was iconic too. Yeah, those were good ones for sure.
And then, of course, when I was in high school, I got to see, I got to, my parents took me to some shows. Sammy Davis was one.
Yeah.
And oh my God, I mean, I'm so thankful that I got to see Sammy. I saw Ella. I've seen Sarah. Carmen was my other all-time fave. Nancy, I've seen. Lena Horne.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was so young at the time. I'm not really sure if I could have really appreciated the high artistry. But when I saw Ella, it was with Joe Pass and Oscar Peterson. Oh. I mean, these are the... I went, I'm looking at this. And kids my age weren't really doing that music. And so I felt kind of an odd one out. Now, like I say, I don't know where all these kids are coming from. It's like, wow, where'd you get this? So I think that has a lot to do with education, with the schools that are exposing it to them. Yeah. And and Mel Torme, when I learned about him and used to wore those albums out, the Marty Paich Orchestra, those albums. And I'm not sure, a lot of people know of Cleo Lane. She was a big Cleo Lane with that huge 4-octave, 5-octave range. I was listening to her. But I think Sinatra was the first big one. And the cool thing about being influenced by a guy, you're never going to sound like him. You're not going to be in fear of imitating him, like all the Sinatra imitators out there. But you can get his phrasing, you can get his pocket, you can get all that from him and apply it to your voice. So, I don't know. They're storytellers.
Yeah.
And they have a good sound, they have singing tune, they have good everything. And when they sang, what you heard was live. They sang it live that way. Another person, Natalie Cole. Big influence. I've gotten to work with her about four times. We were on the same program together, and I saw her live. And let me tell you, there's no bells and whistles with her. There's no pitch correcting. There's not all that stuff that's available to artists nowadays. And I don't like to use pitch correction. In the words of Nancy, if you can't go in there and do it, then you're not working on your craft. So I find that students sometimes get lazy. Because of the technology, they just go in there, I don't have to work on intonation, I'm just going to put Melodyne to it. And I feel most jazz musicians don't do that. They're more purists in that way. And they said, Lisanne, you just have to get over it. It's technology, it's not going away. I said, yeah, but then I'm still old school, and I'd rather be a little out of tune and have some passion than just tune the soul out of it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
It does. I totally get it. I come from an older generation. I get it. So, Lizanne, let me ask you this. Everyone has a perception of you. Family, friends, fans, everyone on the bandstand, everyone in every capacity, but you run the show. What's your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
This NBA playoffs with FanDuel, you're not just watching the playoffs. You're a part of them.
And we're back. Steve's got the phone, opens FanDuel, locks in player points. Quick fingers, you love to see it. Now he's going for threes. Big night for Steve-O.
Be a part of the action and get better payouts this NBA playoffs on FanDuel. 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-MY-RESET.
Wow, you're really deep. You sure you're not Barbara Walters or something? My perception of me as a person or as a musician?
In general, there's an aura that we put off in different groups. They all see you in a specific way. But since you're the one living your life, you're the driving force behind what people see. Mm. What is your take on who you think you are?
Wow. Well, first of all, I don't know what they think of me. I'm hoping they respect me I don't know what they think of me, but as far as what I think about myself, hopefully a person that's done their homework, that's done their, they've studied, they take their craft seriously, and they're professional, and they have hopefully their stuff, my stuff together, hope I have it together. So I'm one with a bandstand, I give out music, and I'm kind of expecting the same. and which I usually get anyway, but I don't hopefully treat them badly or be nasty, but sometimes I have seasoned players and sometimes I don't. And I feel like I have to know it so well that no matter what's happening around me, it will still fly, it will still be entertaining. There was this one thing I heard about years ago. Someone said that Dizzy was playing with a band that wasn't too together rhythmically, and they were flaring all over the place. And someone said, how in the world did you keep your time? You know, like, how did you figure that, navigate through all that? He goes, because I am the time. I went, oh. Wow. It was like, you should have your stuff so hopefully together that if it, that they will hook onto your energy and to your drive. And the best scenario would be everybody's participating. Everybody's got the confidence and with and security with all the what's going on, that we can take chances. I feel I can sort of cite that out by the experience. Can I take more chances? Are they going to feel like I'm behind or getting lost or whatever? Or do I have to play it down the middle in same time because the drummer's not really locking in? So, you know, I have to sing right in the pocket, even though I want a phrase over the bar line. They think, okay, let me be the time, and hopefully they'll catch on. And the other compliment I got, I think, from a drummer said, you know what, you're really fun to sing with, from a drummer. So I want to be in it with them, and my job is to try to keep my skills as good as theirs, because they spend hours practicing. And a lot of singers, because we walk around with our instruments, we feel like, I don't need to do that. I'm just going to walk on and, you know, count my fingers and, you know, it's going to happen organically. And not really. Yeah. you are what you practice. You are what you practice.
For sure. So the new album is May I Come In on Origin Records.
Yeah.
And it's streaming everywhere. If anybody wants to catch you live, anything else going on in your world, where do they go?
Well, I'm down in Miami now. I actually have a really fun show coming up May 2nd with the Greater Miami Youth Orchestra.
Okay.
And Boston Brass. So I've never sung with just horns like that, Boston Brass. So I get to sing, I think, Smile with them. And then the other 40 minutes is me with the orchestra. And I think there's some people they're hiring to augment it, more older professionals, because it's a hard book, and a jazz trio. So that's coming up May 2nd. And then May 1st, I sing in this club called the All That Jazz Cafe around the Sunrise area. And yeah, so I'm working on that, and that's coming up soon. So I'm practicing those songs and trying to get that together. And I have a lot of symphony shows I've done as well. So that's another side I really enjoy singing.
Excellent.
With strings. I mean, who gets to sing with strings?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, so it's like, oh, go back to the old days when we had a studio orchestra, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, there's one more thing. I did get, when Natalie Cole came out with her Unforgettable album, remember?
Yep.
How amazing that was. I got to see her on tour. And when I saw that on tour with her with these 17 strings, I went, this blew my mind. I said, that's another inspiration for my CD, by the way, is yeah. Natalie Cole.
Wonderful. Yeah, so. I love it. Well, I will get all these links in the show notes. Lizanne, this has been wonderful. Great to meet you. Thank you for taking a minute.
You too.
And
thank
best
you.
Of luck with everything. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in Miami, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Lizanne. And thanks to Lizanne for swinging on by the show. If you want to hear more Neon Jazz interviews, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us at YouTube. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Speaking of the devil,
Neon Jazz.